Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. I'm your host, Rasaki Mascani, and on the panel this evening, we have Ernest McBride Jr., Professor Amin Ra, Miss Sophia, and Brother Ahi. Brother Mashinda was just here. He went off. Maybe he'll come back. Here he comes. He's coming back. Our guest for this evening is Dr. Inky. Dr. Inky is on our show about every other month. So if he's not a team member, if he says he's not a team member, he's not telling the truth. He's here almost as much as we're here. So he's definitely a team member. So he's one of our regular naturopath doctors that we have, and we're glad to have him around with the real vast information that he has, and author of many books. Number one fan is Miss Sophia. Miss Sophia brought us Dr. Inky, so we're happy for that. And we're just going to get started with our topic this evening. Topic is real food. So, Dr. Inky, you can take over and talk about real food.
All right, awesome. I would love if it was more of just a discussion, because I really wanted to get some ideas on what you guys' perspectives were in terms of
real
real
food.
food, and yeah, not only real food, but the whole, the whole reprogramming. You know, what's going on with the food pyramid, the history of it, and now that it's changed, and just the new school curriculums, and just all of the different changes that are going on, but yeah, so I think we could start with real food maybe, and go around, and maybe folks.
So I guess we could kind of get what people think is real food, and or just take their perspective on real food, because
I think that's all we have. Yeah, I think that's all we have at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, I can kind of get started with that. What I think real food is, and so I've dealt with a few naturopaths. And as a matter of fact, I dealt with a guy named Asa Allah, and he's a food nutritional researcher. And he said a few things about what real food is, and that it has to the and the type of foods that are the best results of the taking it, the intake of food. And he said that foods are grown, the fruits and vegetables that are grown in the areas around the world, that it's natural habitat to grow that type of food. And so he said that
interesting.
A lot of the foods are manufactured, and they're artificially grown in places, and I just give one answer and I leave it alone, or one example of what he's talking about. He said carrots are manufactured. That's what he said, and he said they were constructed, and I guess he would say that that's not a real food.
Okay.
So there's certain types of foods that has been manufactured by, I guess, whoever, the scientists that put them together, and And so, from my understanding, from taking in the information that I was given, the real foods are the foods that are grown in their natural habitat, and they are essential for the body, be it a vegetable or fruit or grains. And it's just, and it's re very it's really, I guess, through creation, it's constructed for the body. They have a grain called amaranth that I learned about through Asa Allah. And he said that that grain has a lot of the properties that the body has. So therefore, that's a real good food to intake. The grain, amaranth. So I'll just leave it right there and let other people talk about what they think real food is. And then I guess, since you brought up the topic, Dr. Inky, we can, you'll be last to explain what real food is. And I'm pretty sure you've been studying what foods are and how they benefit the body. So I'm gonna go to Ernest. Ernest, what would be your definition of real foods, or what is
No.
considered real food?
Well, my daughter and I was kind of going over. We've been kind of discussing this, the last, because she calls me, lives in Grenoble, France, and we always have discussions about food. How almost everything we eat, especially here in America, they're putting some kind of additive in it to either make it last longer or make it taste different. And they're, like you said, they're manufacturing food. And a lot of things that our FDA allow in foods, the manufacturers to put in food, see that stuff is outlawed in other countries like France. A lot of things we put in our food, it's outlawed, can't put it in food. And then it's kind of hard to tell, because even if you grow the food in its natural habitat, and they'll come and pick it, bring it in the plant, and do something to it to make it last longer, maybe it only should last a week or two, and they want to last 6 months, and all and everything they do to change the natural, makeup of food. I think that's, it's doing something detrimental to the people that eat it, like us, because here we are, our parents were kind of before my parents, say my grandparents. Stuff like dementia and Alzheimer's, that stuff wasn't going around, but now, it's a pandemic now, because everybody I talk to, there's some member of the family, or they know somebody that's got dementia or Alzheimer's, and so that's the only thing I see is I don't even know how you can even. Food you grow, say you grow your own garden. Well, what about the chemicals you put in, to use to fertilize? That's probably doing something detrimental to the food. So, it's difficult to figure out what to eat and what not to eat. You have to eat something to survive, but everything you pick up, it's a laundry list of what's in that product. And so I don't know, it's gets to be mind-boggling. So
Okay, thanks. Professor Ra?
it
Professor Ra?
depends on your culture and where you live. Certain natural foods you can't get everywhere. Food that come up out the ground. That's why some people eat animals, because they were in a cold area and they couldn't grow.
just stay underground. Some people, your culture, to another person. So that's my answer. It's a culture dynamic that determines what's real food.
Wait, I
Most
couldn't. I'm sorry to cut you.
people who are in.
It's can you start back over? Because it seemed like his microphone is.
Professor Raw,
Man.
you have a
Can you hear?
connection issue, so he wants you to repeat what you said because he couldn't hear everything.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm having connection problems too. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
I said it's a cultural dynamic. In Istanbul, they eat rats. In certain parts of China, they eat bats. Them in America, where you have people who study nutritional eating and healthy eating, they come up with a whole bunch of prescriptions for you. And then they tell you how to prepare the food. Like, don't cook it because you cook the nutrients out of it. They say you need to eat kale, you need to eat this, but don't cook it. But I'm just saying that it depends on where you live, how you live. In certain parts of the Alaska and in certain parts of Europe, where the Arctic is, it's cold year round almost. You can't grow nothing. The people went to eating meat and killing animals. I mean, it's a challenging thing. But even here in America, if you're going to study what's nutritional and what's best for you to eat, that's still a cultural thing. Some people, don't eat okra. They live here. Some people don't eat garlic, and it depends on what your body takes. Certain people used to. There's a difference between growing food and gathering food and hunting for food and fishing for food, and it depends on your culture. Some people say you shouldn't eat fish. You shouldn't eat a shellfish. Shrimp and lobsters, because they're scavengers. They get everything on the bottom of the earth. They tell you this, don't. That's one of the reasons they people don't eat pig, because he's a scavenger. And I mean, as you should sell us in Mexico, Tijuana, don't buy the tacos because they put.
All right, Professor Rob went back out. He's gonna come in. We'll come back to him. Hopefully his internet stabilize it.
Okay.
Okay, Miss Sophia, we're gonna go to you.
All right. I actually agree with what all of you guys have said, and also I wanna mentioned based on Genesis 1:29 in the Bible, it says that, and God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed." It says, "With seed in its fruit, so you shall have them for food." So, that kind of sums up, or gives us an idea that natural food, as you all have already mentioned, are what we should be eating and or what is considered real food. There is, I don't know if you guys have heard of the Doomsday Vault called the Svalbard Global Seed Vault in Norwegian Islands. They've collected seeds from all over the world, and now when we even if you do go to the farmers market, you're gonna see organic, quote unquote, food, like raisins, grapes, or watermelon without seeds, and they're still considered organics, but I don't know if a person can consider them real food if they've been, altered. And not to say that all altered foods are not good for human consumption. I'm just saying, being closest to how food was grown originally is what I, in my opinion, would be real food. So, but we are veering farther and farther away from that, and fewer people are controlling the seeds, even for those that are having farms now, farmers market. So, if one individual owns over 80% of the farmland in an entire country, that's a concern, because the change is not, it's going away from nature. So, and with food, food is, like Mr. Mascagni said, to nourish the body, so that really defines the entire definition of food. And now some of the food, even fruits or vegetables that have been modified, harm the body instead in many different ways. And I can't wait to hear from Dr. Inky what he has to say regarding all of that.
Okay, we still have a few other people before we get to Dr.
Oh,
Inca. Thank
okay,
you.
perfect. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Brother Ahi.
Prosecute.
Yeah,
All
Ra,
right.
we're gonna come back to you, Ra.
Prosecute.
Unless you want to go now, Professor. Okay.
His internet still is in and out. He go ahead. We keep
Right.
we're gonna come back to you before I run.
Sister was just talking about Sister Sophia, right? Was talking about modified foods, and now we have a supermarket here that it's called Aldi's, and I go there. I used to. Well, I still go there, but I go there to get my little Lunchables, things that I can pop in the microwave. But I heard some people talking one day about genetically modified food, and doggone it, I started looking on those chat on those packages. About a third of the packages that I had were genetically modified, just like created in a lab. And I had to throw all that stuff out. Every time. America is about greed. Even the corn, I watched the Mexicans, they have to go down to Mexico and get the real corn, not the stuff that's all the way yellow, but it's a multicolored corn. It's the original corn. And they have taken the nutrients out of the corn, and it is now, some people even say it's not really healthy for you. So, everything in America is about how we, and even with hydro now, they're not even using dirt sometimes to grow their food. And it comes up with a bland taste. It's not tomato, it looks good, but it's not tomatoey. The herbs aren't really pungent or smelly. We're really getting away from what's good for the people here in the name of making money. Every time I leave the country, the food is exponentially better. The fruit is better. The vegetables are better. I'm telling you, I almost forgot how the stuff tastes, But yeah, I've
So,
given up anything that's like enriched. I've given up unbleached, enriched flour. And it's made a difference in my diet. I've given up sugar. I still like my little peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but for the most part, I don't really use, well, a little bit in my cornbread. I've given up. I've gone over to salt this kosher, and these things have helped me level out my weight a little, and my stomach has gotten flatter. I don't feel as bloated. I don't eat as much dairy. I like my cheese. But real food in America is falling by the wayside. Because we don't.
So what
I
is
don't know.
real
I don't know if
food?
you can call this stuff real food, but
What would you call real food?
things that aren't modified.
Okay. Food is not okay.
Things that aren't modified, and that's from the chicken. I go to a halal butcher, and these Middle Eastern people, they grow their animals according to their religions. They have a strict religious code on what their animals are fed. They don't feed them other animals. They have a code even on how they're butchered. I had me a chicken. I put it in the refrigerator and forgot about it. The following weekend, like about 7, 8 days later, I saw that chicken sitting in my refrigerator and pulled it out. I opened that bag and put my face up to that. I could not smell that chicken. I pulled it out and started rubbing on it. It was not greasy. It was not slimy. So,
So you
there are
ate
people that, pardon?
it.
It was good.
So you ate
It was
it.
good, buddy. And so I mean, certain people are really working, and we have our urban farmers here now. They're trying to get back to the health of their community and grow their own food and do things the right way. But generally, Americans are not really eating real food, and that's from going to the fast food restaurants to even your grocers now. So that's my take on it.
All right, thanks. Brother Mashinda.
Yo, good morning, good afternoon, and wherever you're at. Yeah, but interesting conversation. Thank you, Dr. Inky, for coming back again. You always enlighten us. And great question. You know, what is real food? I think everybody that has given answers tonight, all are in the ballpark. They're given their personal perspective. I appreciate that. I concur with you, Brother Ahi. That really good what you said. I just want to piggyback along those lines. In my opinion, real food. I look at the functions of the body. You know, our natural intent of how our bodies are constructed and how our digestive systems are the different types of systems that we have in our body. And so, anything. What I deem as real food is anything that can complement or supplement or add anything positive to the already awesome creation that we have as a body, as a in terms of our different systems that we have in our body. Let's talk about the digestive system. You know, of course, Dr. Inky has touched on a lot of this, and I've done my own research and with like you say, have triangulated, information, but various resources and things like that. And, that's why I appreciate Dr. Inky coming on. I look forward to his commentary. And so, anything that can complement what our natural body already does. What happens is I look at the environment that we come up in. Of course, it's relative. Where we live at in terms of what we ingest in our body from an environmental point of view, whether it's pollutants, whether it's your drinking water, whatever. At the end of the day, anything that can offset or complement the, well, offset meaning that any negative things that may or any deficiencies that we may have based on our environment, that's one thing. So just to corner that, say if in other words, if the environment is playing a role in basically depleting certain resources that we need for us to function on a different level on a day-to-day basis, there are certain foods that can counteract the negative infiltration of these entities that we are confronted with on a regular basis, whether it's our digestive system and our microbiomes and all those things. There are foods that aid in the digestive process, and there are some that are more effective than others. So, based on anyone's research, based on, of course, people like Dr. Inky, people who research these things, can recommend or advise on, hey, this will aid or help you in your digestive tract. If you have diabetic situations or if you have high blood pressures, these are the things that can actually work to your advantage, So those are the real foods that complement or aid in replacing the deficient areas within our natural body. I'm done. I made that up, but I think that's how I feel. What you think, Dr. Inky?
That was good.
I dig it. I dig it. I dig it.
All right. Thanks, Brother Machinda. Brother Hembry?
Yes, sir. I appreciate everybody's comments this evening. I don't know how to define real food, but I know what I do for me. And I don't eat nothing out of no can, nothing out of no package. I don't fool with nothing white, salt, sugar, white rice, milk, none of that, no dairy stuff. I don't eat no red meat. I grow a lot of vegetables and stuff. I try to eat a big salad daily with all the colorful things in it, green, red, yellow, and orange, bell peppers, broccoli, red and white onions. Sometimes I put some raisins in there, pumpkin seeds, stuff like that. No sodas, no alcohol. And that's what I do. It's hard, sometimes it's hard, to stick to stuff like that, depending on where you live, your environment, how much money you got in your pocket, stuff like that. But that's what I do for me, and it's working well. A lot of water. Water is number one. But I just try to keep a balance of water, exercise, rest, and no stress. And that's about it.
All right. Thanks. And I know the Dr. Rutherford came on, and he has a farm, and he talked about things that you could eat that's good for the body. So he would have a real good answer, just like everybody else, about real food. So Professor Amin Ra is back out again. So we're just going to go to you, Dr. Inky, so you can tell us about real food from your studies and perspective.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I think that we had a diverse, and shout out to the platform. Definitely want to shout out and appreciate Sister Sophia. Yeah, we had a diverse bit of answers. I think that most of the answers, though, were kind of touching on the quality of the food, as opposed to what is actual food, because that word is, and I hadn't really got too obsessed with the term until last month or so. But yeah, I think Professor, even though his microphone was going out, I think that he hit the nail on the head, because culturally, different people do have different concepts of food, what actual real food is, from around the globe. But I think that regardless of culture, I think there are certain things that cut across the lines. And I think that in America, America's the most unhealthiest country in the developed world right now. And black folks are the most unhealthiest group in the most unhealthiest country in the world right now. So we have the weight of the world on our shoulders, so to speak. We're competing with in an unhealthy in an unhealthy race. We're competing with the Native Americans, which is a whole nother interesting conversation that we would find ourselves in the boat with the Native Americans, because some folks say that we are the Native Americans. So it's interesting that when we get into a health discussion, we look over to our left and our right, there'd be, the Native Americans would be there. But yeah, I think that the largest problem is we're consuming the food from in the middle of the supermarket. I could make an argument for plant-based culture or vegan culture, but I think that in the discussion of what real food is, I think meat, has earned its place. Whether we personally agree with it or not, I think meat has earned its place. But even the meat has, meat from the super. So even if we discuss meat, meat from the supermarket. So me and a group of brothers, we were talking about, and this is just last night, we were talking about how they have started to put candy bars and Skittles and things like that, like Nowalators, Skittles, candy bars. They have started to mix in those in the animal feed. So even when you get, even the beef or the cow, maybe the birds, are the least tampered with, but they've been tampered with, and there's a large amount of antibiotics and vaccines that go into the animals, that would easily rival, any amount of pesticides and fertilizers that go into, or glyphosate or whatever the case may be, that go into plants. So I just think that, when it comes to quality of food, unadulterated would probably be the best term that we would have to get back to, but that would require us a shift in consciousness and then a shift in, our taste buds and habits. But I think the thing is the Frankenfood. I think that's the thing, is the Frankenfood, the food that has no soul. The food that has never had a soul. Because you might say, well, if we're eating dead animals don't have a soul. True. But at some point, maybe they did, because they were breathing, right? And we know spirit, that's kind of the essence of what the word spirit is breathing. And, plants, when we eat fruits and vegetables and grains, those things are still breathing. The meats and things like that, they were once breathing, But I think when we get into the large majority of food, I don't think that when we get to the essence of it, I don't think that fruits, vegetables, or animals will be qualified as food. I think that fruits are fruits. Vegetables are vegetables. It's already bad enough that we call cows beef instead of calling them cows. But I think food has primarily been utilized to describe and maybe even to mix the things that don't really have an inception outside of a laboratory or a manufacturing plant, like maybe cornflakes or things that were just created where there's very little actual natural substance. Even if we're including the additions of additives and colors and things like that, you still may have a substance that outweighs the additions. The largest problem that we have in America is the consumption of fluids. That is the largest cause of diabetes, obesity, and heart disease. It's not even actual solid food. It's the fluids and the condiments. Those are the big killers. So, and we know that these juices are complete inventions. Not because they're not actually juices. They're not products of fruits or vegetables. They're made up 100% in a lab and then mixed into tap water, right? Sodas and things, they're just made from lab powders and tap water. So I think that I think that real food is not food at all. I think real food is fruits, vegetables. That real food has an actual noun, has a name. Apple is an apple. Once we get into Apple Jacks, then Apple Jacks will be considered food, but the apple is an apple. So I think that is the thing. And so I do like the direction that things are taken, even though there's some adverse short-term stuff that's going on, and then we know overall there's some money stuff that's also going on in terms of the changing of the food pyramid. Now,
Dr. Enke,
yeah,
can I interrupt real quick?
absolutely.
Dr. Sharita has come in, and I would like to get her definition of
Yes,
what food
I would
is,
love to
and
hear
then
what
we'll
she,
come right back to you.
yeah, I would love to hear what she's saying as well.
Dr. Sharita, welcome. Unmute, please. We want to get your definition of real food. Okay, Dr. Enke, I don't know if she's just listening or not. You can continue, Dr. Enke.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she might be doing something in the background. You know how you turn the show on and you do multitasking. But so for the family that doesn't know, so the first food pyramid was largely put together and kind of like championed by Richard Nixon and his crew. And Joe Biden was a part of that crew. And so that's interesting. And we know that what's his name? Theodore Roosevelt. Is it Theodore Roosevelt that had the heart attack in the White House while he was president?
No, that was Franklin Delano.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Okay. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he had the heart attack, and that kind of created the food conversation. That's what really started the food conversation as a political, as a political piece. And now we have the new food pyramid, which has kind of replaced or removed altogether sugary stuff and snacks and boxed food, and it's just really composed of, grains, fruits, vegetables, protein, whether that's red meat or white meat, which I, may or may not agree with to an extent. But I see what they're doing, and I like the direction they're going in, and they've also coupled that with putting some laws on the books to control where food stamps and EBT and WIC and how some of those things are being spent, which I also like. I think that a lot of people are, a lot of people upset about it. But we have a child obesity crisis that is going through the roof, and it's only going to get worse because the sedentary issue, where people are not moving around, that is going to grow exponentially. Nobody's really thinking about the next 20 to 30 years, but or even 50 years.
Dr. Enke, before you go forward, I want to delve into to what you were saying about the you talking about the administration and their food, their nutritional chart or whatever. And you say you like the direction they're going in. Can you be more specific and why you would like
Sure.
that? Because a lot of
Sure.
people, a lot of people really, just because of Trump, anything Trump, they want to go
They
against.
against it. Yeah, they
Yeah,
against it.
because of just because it's him,
Right.
without really checking out the scene. So
Right.
maybe
Yep.
you can enlighten us, because I didn't really look into the food chart, because I'm doing my personal studies and I'm the experiment, so I'm
No,
not really paying
all
too much.
good.
But can you go deeper in that a little bit?
Yeah, so what they basically did was removed any of the fake, the laboratory stuff, and just put the basics on the food pyramid now. So you still have your dairy, your meat, your fruits, vegetables, etc., but that's it. You don't have, sweets, candy, sugars, sodas, and they've went a step further to limit or even eliminate the ability of using state funds to purchase sodas and fake juices and cookies, candies, potato chips, and things like that. So they are trying to get America from being in dead last, because we are in last place in terms of health around the world. We even have one of the worst, we're listed as top 10 worst countries in the world to have a baby in for a woman. Top 10 worst places in the world for a woman to give birth at. So yeah, they're trying to change those things. And so I don't necessarily, I would have probably designed the food pyramid different, but it is a better food pyramid than what we had. And the thing that people may or may not get, and again, obviously because it's Trump, they're going to go against it. But say if Dr. Africa, may he rest in greatness, if Dr. Africa had come up with this and he had put it in, people would be parading in the street saying he was the next coming of Christ, because the food pyramid, whether we look at it or put any stock in it or not, the food pyramid is what is gonna, trickle down into not just the supermarkets, but into our high schools, our junior high schools, and our elementary schools. And right now, the number one thing that the children are eating in school is, Doritos, donuts, pizza, soda. That's what the school system is offering the children based on the old standards. So at least going back to, or changing the food pyramid to where maybe we can replace them sodas and things back to where, it's apple juice again. You know what I'm saying? Or ciders or orange juices, or just getting, maybe some higher quality water in there and some fruits and, just getting back to some real cooked food to where the lunch ladies are actually cooking food in the back, as opposed to, you got microwaves in the back of the lunch room. You know what I'm saying? So, and there's been studies that have been done on behavior of children based on what they eat. And, those are academic as well as behavioral. They've done studies in the prison populations to show that the violence or propensity towards violence largely depends on what the prisoners are fed. So, in different groups, they have tested these theories and shown that, performance overall, whether it's physical or mental, and even mental health and emotional stability is tied to what it is that we're eating, and not necessarily so much as whether it is meat or plants or whatever the case may be, just as much as it's maybe natural. And at one point had life in it. I think that is a big thing, just to unite around some core principles, because we know that pizza,
Wow, dangerous insight.
we know that pizza doesn't, it's never breathed. Pizza has never breathed before. There's no respiratory process that ever goes on in a pizza. And even if we want to micromanage and look at the unique parts of a pizza, once budgeting and things like that come into play, the pizza that hits the school is not going to necessarily be what maybe an Italian family would prepare for their children. It's going to be the most affordable cheese with the most affordable breads with the most affordable tomato sauce, which is going to have the highest amount of sugar and preservatives in there and some of those things. So yeah, just putting a stamp and saying if it's going to be meat, it should be, meat that is, free of chemicals. We want to get the plants as free of chemicals as possible and just try to get back to some sort of semblance of living things or things that were once alive, as a blueprint and standard for what it is that we're eating and start from there. It's an improvement. It can always be better, but it's light years better than, what we got going on, because, I participated in basketball camp in my son's school, and he's in high school. And it was crazy to see what it was, what was going on in there. And even like the nurses in the schools, they don't really know much. They're in there with Gatorade and pickle juice for kids. I was like, this is wild. You know what I'm saying? And and this is like the resources that the children have to lean on. So, but they're taking it a step further and requiring nutrition to be taught in medical schools and in colleges and also high schools as a primary medicine. So that is also a beautiful thing that food is being taken serious in terms of being able to reverse illness, prevent illness. We would have to look around and make sure we're not being recorded by the feds and before we could say cure illness, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, so they're taking food serious. They're gonna institute the they passed some bills last year, last spring, last summer that are being put into action where the medical school curriculums have to be changed. But on the flip side to that, I think there's some money, of course, always involved with what's going on. So the holistic community, is being replaced. The holistic community is being replaced. To whereas, I've been on YouTube since YouTube started. And there was a time period where, even before YouTube, because we kind of sold our souls to YouTube, to create the vibe on YouTube. But pre-YouTube, we had our own little chitlin circuit where, people were doing lectures in all of the different major cities all across America. Every weekend, somebody was somewhere. Dr. Africa was here, Rinoco Rashidi was there, I was over here, somebody was there. And it wasn't just the speakers that were doing their thing, because at every one of these places, you had vendors lined up. So the vendors were able to make a living. The people that owned the venue, they were getting their dollars. The information was getting disseminated. There was, the quality control on the information was the people. You didn't have to worry about being censored in any shape, form, or fashion. You regulated your own price for your content, whether you were on the higher end of things like Ashwa Kwesi, and their DVDs were like $50 or $100, or some folks sold their material for $10 or whatever it was. But it was a market that we completely controlled. To where now, you do a live stream on YouTube, if your channel's monetized, you get like a dollar for every 10,000 or 100,000 people that watch it, or something crazy like that. So, there's that. But at one time, if you typed in holistic health on YouTube, there would be nothing but, like black teachers that would pop up on YouTube. Now if you type that in, you don't find anybody. You have to search hard to find like a Richard King or Dr. Sebi's old videos or Dr. Africa. You have to really search for those things. It doesn't just pop up auto-populate because the algorithms have pushed them out. Even if you was to search like a topic like melanin, there's a time period where it was like a taboo thing to discuss because, Western institutions and academia said it was pseudoscience or black militant mumbo jumbo. And so you would only find, Richard King's or T. Owens Moore or some people like that, or, having those discussions. Now, again, you pop it in, it's all white doctors. And so, that's the downside to changing what's going on. I think that people are going to benefit. I think that health is going to improve drastically across the country. But, the roots of what holistic health and naturopathic health was in America is going to look very different. Very similar to maybe like rock and roll or jazz, where there's one time where rock and roll was like, and then now if you look up rock and roll now, kids nowadays, they're like, oh, that's white music. I don't listen to that. Or, you ask them about, oh, that's that white music. I don't listen to that. You're like, wait, what? Do you know who created that? So I think that holistic health and naturopathy is going down the same road, because it's being co-opted. Even herbs are being, they've created a new term so that herbs can be phased out. They came up with a term called nutraceuticals, and nutraceuticals is nothing more than doctors selling the herbs, and because it's the doctor selling the herb instead of, calling it an herb or a combination of herbs or herbal blend or whatever, it's called a nutraceutical. They also just passed a law to make it illegal, to discuss food, in certain capacities without being board certified or licensed. So as we kind of have gotten accustomed over the last 20, 30 years of talking about how certain foods, can impact certain, it's like the gift and the curse. We always wanted these concepts to be accepted mainstream, but I don't think we thought about the back end of what it means when these concepts go pop. So, now you need to have a board certification or license to be able to say that, a plant or whatever the case may be, or certain foods like cabbage. If you want to talk about the anti-cancer properties of cabbage or broccoli, it's illegal if you don't, if you're not board certified or have a license. So, those are some of the downsides to the changes that are taking place. And a lot of people aren't even really aware of those changes that's being put in place right now. So, so it's a gift and a curse. I think that the new food pyramid is good. I think, doctors traditionally have had zero training on nutrition, and primarily that's because the medical system in America was created before there was an idea of nutrition or diet in America. The first medical school was 1765. The word calorie is not invented until almost 100 years later in the 1840s. The first vitamins are not discovered until almost 200 years later in the early 1900s, between like 1905 and maybe 1940 is when we started to really nail down what a vitamin was. So that's almost 200 years between the time that, medical school was first started in the 1760s to the 1940s. So what happened was, as new things developed, instead of incorporating them into the health system, they just created separate businesses. So you have a doctor, then you have a nutritionist, then you have a dietitian. And so doctors don't really know anything about diet. And then, oddly enough, dietitians don't fully know about nutrition, and nutritionists don't really know about the diet. And so, you got all of these different things where it's John Q. Public. You think when you're going to see your doctor that they should probably be aware to some extent of all those things, especially if their title is held in such high esteem over other types of health professionals. You would think that they would know a little bit of everything. But so that's changing, going from 1 hour per sem per 2 semesters, 30 minutes per semester of nutrition training. Food is now being considered actual medicine. So, Yeah, you're not going to be able to discuss food in certain ways if you're not board certified or licensed. Exercise has been upgraded to lifestyle medicine. So even exercise, people will not be able to freely discuss exercise if they're not board certified or licensed. And we on and you know we do have a bunch of scammers and people who do some crazy stuff out there. So maybe we need some more regulation. But I mean, these are just things that are going on. So there are pros and cons to the changing of the guard and how the health landscape is changing. So I don't know. I just wanted to update the family over here on, the concepts. Cause we got our own culture and our ideas about what real food is, but with RFK changing the food pyramid to something closer to holistic, and then putting some laws on the books to change all of the school curriculums and upgrade food to get some more respect on food in terms of, food being therapeutic and having a therapeutic value and exercise and getting everybody to start moving around and there's just a blowback to that. There's some impact. So people have to make some changes in order to be able to continue to do, what we've been doing and not be drowned out. Like other industries that we may have created or contributed, been co-founders of, at least anyway, in America. And now, you can't really find us in those spaces anymore. We've been drowned out. But yeah, so overall though, I like, I like what's happening. The business side and the back end of it is a little crazy. It's gonna be interesting to see how that's applied. It's going to be tough to be able to stop people from talking about exercise and food in a certain type of way. But yeah, so I'll turn it over to you.
So I want to thank everybody for coming this evening. We have our regular shows next week. We'll talk about that. Well, you can look on the website. So
Peace
thanks
to
a
the
lot,
family.
everybody.
Yes, peace. Thanks,
And
Sophia.
Teach One and Conscious Corner. Everybody continue to have a great day.
Yes.
Thank you.